The rest of the journey went off without a hitch, and I hardly even noticed the heat. Okay, I noticed the heat, but I was so pumped up about the new direction my life had taken that I didn't let it bother me. The dig site was easy to find. I could see it half a mile away. 6 or 7 pickups and cars parked in a row beside a collection of tents that looked like flowers in the distance, red and blue and green, against a background of drab yellow grass. I rolled into camp around 3 o'clock and, you know, I had sort of expected a welcoming committee. Not anything fancy, but maybe 2 or 3 of their top people who would drop their digging tools and rush out to welcome me. I mean, how often does a head of ranch security show up at these deals? Nobody even noticed I was there. Oh well. I tried not to get my feelings hurt. I knew they were busy, and to be fair about it, a lot of those folks didn't realize who I was. Do we need to do a quick review of what's involved in an archaeological dig? Maybe so. And we can start with the correct pronunciation of the word. It's archaeology, not Arkansology. I don't know who started calling it Arkansology. Well, yes, I do. Drover. And that should come as no great surprise. The runt has trouble remembering his own name, much less big scientific words like Arkansology. Archaeology. Archaeologists dig around in the dirt and look for old things, but they don't do it with backhoes or even with shovels. No, sir. When I got there, I saw 7 grown men on their knees, humped over like snails and dragging trowels across patches of dirt that were as square and flat as wooden boxes. This was the site. That's what they call it, the site. And they had it laid out in several squares that were marked by string lines. The digging took place in the shade provided by a big blue awning, a kind of tent, open at the sides and held up by poles that were anchored in the ground by ropes and stakes. They would trowel for a while, then scoop up the dirt and toss it into a white plastic bucket. When a bucket got full, a tall fellow named Mike picked it up and carried it to a screen. He wore a straw cowboy hat and had a silver mustache, and he would dump the bucket of dirt into the screen and shake it back and forth until all the loose dirt had fallen through. Then he would bend over the screen and pick out certain objects that he called cultural material. Pieces of bone, charcoal, pottery, and flint, which he dropped into a small paper sack with writing on it. At the same time, Dave Wilkins was walking around, looking down into all the holes. He would pull on his chin and say, and write something on his clipboard. No kidding, that was it. I have no idea what he was writing down, but maybe it was just, Well, after sitting quietly and observing it all for 15 minutes and listening to 10,000 wasps buzzing overhead, I began to realize that this was really boring. So, to liven things up a bit, I took in a big gulp of air and delivered a loud bark that said, "Hey, fellas, great news! I'm here!" Yipes. It didn't exactly liven things up. It stopped everything dead in its tracks. I mean, every head came up and every eye swung around to me. And fellers, the silence that fell over the place was almost scary. Then Mr. Wilkins said, "Hey, Slim, some of your kin folks just showed up." Up until then, I hadn't seen Slim or Alfred, but now their heads popped out of one of the holes. When Slim saw me, he chuckled. "Kin folks, Wilkie, you have a sick mind." Alfred's eyes grew wide and he gasped.
"Hanky, what are you doing here?"